Our guest today is Charles Humphrey III. You may know Charles more as the bass player of that incredibly fine popular band, Steep Canyon Rangers. But Charles has for several years fronted another band entitled the Songs from the Road Band. And they have a brand new album coming out April 21st. It's The Traveling Show. And we're going to talk to Charles at the top of the hour about that band, the Songs from the Road Band, a little bit about Steep Canyon Rangers, some charitable work that he's into, all kinds of things. You know, they also, the Steep Canyon Rangers did a song with Edie Brickell called Test of Time. And it is available, serves the a charity that we'll talk about with Charles when we get there. But top of the hour, it's going to be interesting. Charles is a pretty sharp guy. I think you're really going to like Charles Humphrey III. I'm very happy to have today on Unreal Bluegrass, Charles R. Humphrey III. How are you today, Charles?
Just fine, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, listen, I'm thrilled to get a chance to chat with you. We had schedules change, and we wanted to do this one time before. And I will tell you this, you were going to be on with Tom Gray. I mean, how great would that be? You got Charles Humphrey III, and then you got Tom Gray on the same Saturday show. For me, it was just like bass. It was double bass day for me, and things just, we just couldn't do it. But now we're doing it, so this is great.
Yes, I'm glad we're catching up now, because I really wanted to do that show before, too. Tom Gray is such an inspiring player.
Well, you know, it's funny thing is, we wound up talking for about an hour. So it's probably, I didn't have room for a second one anyway, although, you know, so that was fine.
Well, see, it worked out for the better.
It worked out. Everything works out for the better. Charles, you are probably most recognizable to the listeners of this show and bluegrass fans all over the world as the bass player for Steep Canyon Rangers, but you have another band that's been going on for a while. I think what I have now in my hand, the Traveling Show CD, is the third release, I think, from a band that you front and write a lot of songs and co-write for. The band is actually called, Songs from the Road Band.
That's correct.
Yeah.
This is our third CD, Traveling Show, and it's due to be released April 21st.
Well, you know, Traveling Show is the first cut on the album. I played that last Saturday's show, just to let, you know, I always kind of let people know what's coming up. And it really is, that tune alone, I think, may be the new modern standard of a road warrior type musician. I mean, if you listen to that song, it's all the things that people like you, whether it's Steep Canyon Rangers or with Songs from the Road Band or whoever, the road, the whole issue of being on the road, and that separation from everything else, but the road is there, and you're traveling and playing music. That song, to me, is almost the perfect anthem for a modern-day bluegrass musician traveling band.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of the stuff in there, except for anything that's incriminating, is drawn from true experiences from traveling with the Steep Canyon Rangers, and that's actually kind of what gave birth to this project, was having all these songs I've written while traveling and needed an outlet to record them. And back in 2004, pulled together a group of guys, and we had a lot of fun, and then we did it again in 2009, and like you say, we're doing it again on this project. But it is, it's about traveling and life on the road, and I had the pleasure of working with Jonathan Bird, who was a great songwriter, and we were trying to write an anthem kind of for Steep Canyon Rangers, but it grew into something else. Just hopefully a song that, you know, you don't even have to know who it's about to enjoy.
Well, it is enjoyable. Here's the key to it. Let's talk about this for a minute, because I do want to make sure that we talk about the members of the band on this new album, and I've made some notes about the other tunes on the song. We can go through them as they come up, or where we get diverted, that's fine. But to me, this entire album, and maybe it also is follows the name of the band, the Songs from the Road Band, there is an issue, except for a couple. Well, there's an instrumental, and there's the Hillbilly Wedding song, of course, and I would say Sing to That Mule. Other than the three or four tunes there, there's an issue of not always just being on the road, but being on the road is a form of separation, and the other tunes also speak in terms of a separation from people or events or time. I'm trying to get at?
Well, that's pretty deep. I haven't thought of it that way, but now looking back at the titles, I see that, and I think you're right. Like, I'm looking at Marjorie, which is a tune that Sean Camp and I wrote, and the guy gets separated from the girls
in New Orleans
before cell phones, and
then
I glanced at By the Banks, and that's something that, you know, that could have taken in a separate time period, you know, like Civil War era, maybe. And the, again, the protagonist is calling for his true love as he's getting separated from her physically or metaphysically, you know, in life death situation. And Virginia Lee running away. I had not put that together, but I have to agree with you.
Thompson Flood. I mean, the water separating people.
That's true. And that was I co-wrote Phil Barker, who plays in Town Mountain. He's a great songwriter, singer, and picker. And I love his lead voice, too.
Yes.
He does a lot of the high harmonies with Town Mountain. But
I like
nice
Town
to,
Mountain.
To hear him come down into his baritone range and sing some. And that was based on a true flood that happened in Colorado 6 or 7 years ago. And it was kind of a dedication to the sheriff who gave his life trying to help people to the bitter end.
Yeah.
And shortly after he wrote that song, it's like history repeated itself, and they had that another big flood of the Thompson River in Lyons, Colorado, and it was, or you know, this like one canyon over the same thing, and we couldn't believe it. We thought we might need to stop writing about natural disasters.
Okay. Well, you probably aren't affecting, but at least you're chronicling what's happening. But if you're that causative when you write a song together, then I have a song that I want you to write about the other Steve Martin wins the lottery, and then we'll see if that works.
Hey, we give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot. Listen, and here's the thing. The only reason I bring up this thing, and I don't want to try to get too deep into it, but even the title song, Traveling Show, and the other tunes that are clearly about being on the road, whether with a band or not, Rake Out the Nails, I see a guy kind of separated and on the road, maybe distant from his family as he describes where he's living and what's going on. But there's, if I can find a way to describe this, but it's not always unhappy. In other words, it's not that I'm separated and it's the most miserable thing on the world. There's going to be a return and a revisit back. You know, when you're back off of the road and everything, it's not. In other words, you don't listen to these songs and think, "Geez, oh, Pete, these guys are stuck on the road. Let's send them give them a lifeline to call out on." There's a tone that everything's coming back together again.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's on a positive note there, be it appreciating the road or even appreciating the separation for something new, like you said. I guess Rake Out the Nails, the love doesn't work out, and he burns down their old house.
Yeah.
It's kind of based on, in the old days, there was actually some value put into the nails that they built houses with and actually used to keep
sure
the metal.
Kept them,
but,
yeah.
I think it's a positive album, and, you know, try to stay positive when you can. But, you know, things change and you move on, but you got to accept things how they are and be positive about your new relationships. Or if your life is being on the road, appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. Because let's talk about Pretty Polly, for example. You know, all the old murder death songs and bluegrass, yes, things happen, but even, you know, Willie turns himself in, you get the feeling that, yeah, here I am. I killed Polly, but you know what? He'd have done it again. I mean, he wasn't that horribly sorry and regretful. It was just like, this is the way things are, and I adjust to what I'm doing, and here I am. Now, believe me, folks, there's nothing like, you don't kill anybody on this album that I've heard in the lyrics, I don't think. Are there dead people?
There's no blatant killing going on that I can think of off the top of my head, like there have been in past records.
No,
so that's a good thing.
No, and there's a lot of, yeah. I think the Traveling Show, to me, the title cut really kind of sets the whole tone for all the songs, and that's probably why you named the album Traveling Show. But clearly there's this, you're a band, you're on the road, and not only are you separated from your family, you're also, all of you have other, well, we call them projects. I mean, other bands and other things, but you're also separated from, in your case, from the Steep Canyon Rangers, which is a very busy and very visible band, so you do have these issues that you're out writing songs about things that aren't necessarily like what you're doing all the time. But as you say, you're writing some of these songs when you're out traveling on the road with Steep Canyon Rangers, which is an interesting. You got to think it's kind of an interesting thing that these songs come out of that experience. A lot of them.
Yeah, you know, I think whenever you make an album, you're essentially taking capturing a picture of time. Or, you know, so like if people are making an album, they're gathering up songs that they've written within that time period, or other writers are in those past, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. And the things that were going on in those musicians' lives and those writers' lives, those are the things that are reflected in those songs, which are essence once a band records them, they're captured there as a reflection of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of these co-writing, and all these songs were co-written with exception, well, just about all of them were. And so that's what's happened, you know. Collaborating with different people, they get a little bit of my life mixed with their life, and, you know, some
that's
fiction
great.
And some nonfiction, and you kind of capture a picture of time, and it's kind of neat that way.
Oh,
you can go
great.
Back and listen
they're,
to it.
Charles, they're great songs, and we're talking about the songs because I know you were involved in a lot of the co-writing and the singing and the song and the lyrics and whatnot, but the musicianship is just top shelf all the way through.
Yeah, these are some of the greatest guys. I mean, they've been lifelong friends, but you look at them in their own respective full-time bands, like Leftover Salmon and Down Mountain, Mandolin Orange. You know, Mark played with Larry Keel for a long time. Yeah. John Stickley's leading his own trio. These guys are like some of the top instrumentalists, side men, and part singers. And so when they all get together and they're focused there on the songs, like, okay, these are the songs we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. Let's make them sound as good as we can and have a great time doing it. And it's just a fun experience.
It is. And there's some great instrumental runs that are thrown in some of these songs that maybe are the more traditional sounding songs. But in the middle, there'll be like, you know, there'll be a mandolin or a banjo that's like that wouldn't normally fit in this type of an older style song. It's just things that it's a great mix. I didn't want to give short shrift to the instrumentation because it's you could just knock the vocals out and listen to the playing behind it and recognize that this is a great group of musicians. Obviously, that's why you're with them.
Yeah, you want those guys to, I was like, you know, play what you want to play. You know, put your personality into it. So we've got a song, Sing to That Mule, and it's about Ralph Stanley's mule, mm-hmm. you know, based on his biography. He had a mule, and, you know, so that's where that song idea came from. But then you've got the banjo player playing some stuff I think Ralph Stanley could probably only dream about playing.
Well, it's funny though. Go ahead.
And, you know, I was like, okay, Andy, that's just how Ralph would have played it, huh? He's like, yeah.
Well, the kickoff, the thing to the mule is if you blink twice, it's heavy traffic ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit, don't you think?
Mark Shimmick, he's doing something on that, man. I'm not quite sure what he's doing. It sounds like he's banging it behind the strings or something, and then you hear a G-run come in, and you finally know where you're supposed to be.
That's right. And then you have
that goes along with Mark Shimmick's personality. He is just so wild and creative, quirky guy.
Let me before I forget then, because I'm not gonna we're not gonna delve into all this deep analytical stuff. I just have fun listening to the music, and since it's so fresh in my mind, I got this tone that we're talking about. But let's talk about the members of this band that you're with, doing this album with songs from the Road Band. Tell me who's playing in it, and a little bit of background on them. I know you have it, Andy.
Sure. Well, Mark Shimmick does the mandolin work. He's played with Larry Keel for about 13 years. He's leading up his own project, Josh Daniels, Mark Shimmick project now. He does a lot of the tenor singing, and he's just he's full of personality and soul, and his playing is very unique in that way. It's very exciting. Andy Thorne does the banjo. He lives in Colorado and plays full-time with Leftover Salmon, one of the prominent bluegrass jam bands.
Oh, yeah.
They've been around for 25 years probably. Bobby Britt plays the fiddle. He's a student up in Berkeley.
Hey, Charles, was Leftover Salmon, was that Noam Piccioni played with them early on?
Noam, after Mark Vann passed away, filled in for a little while.
All right, I'm
he
sorry.
Did. And I think they had a couple guys. You know, he did play with them right when Mark Vann passed away.
So people can get the point that's a fairly progressive, like a jam band, and you have one of those.
They are definitely a jam band, you know, but they have their roots in bluegrass, which is kind of cool.
Right.
I think Leftover Salmon and the Newgrass Revival and Bella Fleck and John Hartford and stuff like that was some of the first and old in the ways what got me and a lot of my other bandmates into bluegrass music, and then we kind of worked backwards to the traditional stuff.
All right, I interrupted you. You were talking about the banjo player, and I interrupted you.
Oh, sure, yeah. So that's Andy Thorne, you know, and he's breathed a lot of new life into that band, and they're doing great, and he's just a phenomenal banjo player. Bobby Britt, who shreds the fiddle, he's playing with Town Mountain, and they're one of my favorite traditional bluegrass bands, more traditional. Like, they're hanging on to the tradition. They've got this great signature voice and Robert Greer.
Absolutely.
But they have the wonderful songwriting and great instrumentalists. And, you know, it's like the bands like that, and like Bradford Lee Folk, people that are really hang on to the tradition, like in a hardcore way, but still try to make it their own. There's something neat about that.
It's different. You're right on both of those. And Bradford's been on this show, and Jesse has the banjo player from Town Mountain. And there is a traditional sound, but there's also the songs are a little more expanded as far as the chord structure and things that they're doing. And they're all around that. But you're right. I'm glad you mentioned both of those. Town Mountain, when they kick off Law Dog, the crowd goes crazy.
I love that band. I just think they're so exciting, and I think more people need to be exposed to them because I think they'd really like it.
Oh, yeah.
But so, yeah, Bobby Britt plays fiddle in that band, and he's incredible. He's just, like, well, Bobby and Andy and Mark and John Stickley, all of us have been playing on each other's side projects for so long, it's almost like these guys can tell what the other person's going to play before they play it.
Wow.
John Stickley plays guitar, and he's like an acoustic pioneer, just into all kinds of styles, but is a great flat picker. He played mandolin for the Biscuit Burners for a little while. I think he played bass for Town Mountain, but he's definitely leading up his own project right now, John Stickley Trio, which is...
Oh, yeah.
They've got a new record coming out. They're just mixing it now over Echo Mountain. It's going to be a big record for them. It's really cool.
Right.
Phil Barker, who we mentioned earlier, plays mandolin in Town Mountain. He's done a lot of the co-writing on this record and sings lead and harmony vocals. And he lives... I could throw a rock and hit his house.
Okay.
But he wouldn't know it because he's never home while I'm home. He's out Dormertown Mountain. And when he gets home, I'm out Dormer's Deep Camp Rangers. But when he's around, we get together and do a lot of writing. Sam Horton is probably the only fellow who's not a full-time musician, but he could be. He's just a great part singer, sings all the parts. He's got a nice, strong lead voice, a great flat picker, and he's sung lead on all three of the records. But he's just, chose to have a professional career outside of music and has a large family. And so he's rooted here in Asheville, and this is a nice outlet for him to do some music on the professional level. But he's just a wonderful guy. Andrew Marlin, Marlin Orange, he's a young guy who grew up in the studios around Chapel Hill working in the rubber room, and now he heads his own group, which is a duo actually with Emily France, Marlin Orange, and they were just blowing up, doing dates all over the country. He engineered and co-produced and sang on several songs on the record too, and it was all the guys knew him from recording our last record As the Crow Flies, and it was just great to work with him. And he has this really cool kind of Americana voice with this lazy delivery, almost the phrasing's almost in a nonchalant Willie Nelson kind of style or something that seemed to work well on a lot of the songs that were tinged with Americana influence.
Definitely.
Well, and there's a couple other people that play on one or two songs. Matt Smith on pedal steel guitar. Robert Greer sings lead on a tune, and I mentioned Emily France and Marilyn Orange sings tenor with Andrew on Break Out to Nails. I hold down the bass, and I think that rounds out everybody that's on the record.
Is this a fair statement? The sound, the overall sound from this band that you're in, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Charles R. Humphrey III of Steep Canyon Rangers, and more recently, in addition to that, we're talking about songs from the road band, the Traveling Show album. Does the sound of this band have more of a Rocky Mountain and West flavor to you, or am I just hearing those vocals that we've been talking about as being connected more to that sound?
Well, I would say,
you know what I mean by that?
Well, I would say that the people that are singing are all East Coast Southern. Those are accents, Southern accents. And they're not people from the West trying to sound like they're from the South.
Right.
Like most of these people are actually born, you know, in North Carolina and around. So the accents and the drive, I think, would be more of an East Coast and a West Coast kind of thing. Like you hear with some of those bands, there's a lot of bluegrass in Colorado, and it sounds different. Not bad different, but just different.
No, and maybe I'm just focusing on the vocals more than anything else. The vocals aren't that traditional. You know, when people want to hear limiting classification, but the high lonesome sound. You guys aren't going for that sound. You have vocals that are, as you've already described, the people that pitch in and sing. And to me, for whatever reason, I could be wrong, that is a sound that I associate with with more well, Western
Mississippi. I think there's some of both. Like we discussed, Andrew's voice being kind of Americana and open, crossing genres. Okay. But then you look on like a tune on Hillbilly Wedding Day, where they've got the capos, you know, clamped way up the neck, and they're singing as high as they can. That would be something, you know, you'd easily hear Bobby Osborne or somebody doing.
Okay.
But no, I hear you. There's definitely, I'd say it's more bluegrass than anything else, but it also reaches into some Americana and stuff like that. But there are no drums on the record, so it doesn't stray too far, but then it's based on original songwriting. So
there
are definitely some Western Colorado groups out there, without naming any names, that have some vocal styles that are
And Charles, maybe that's what I'm hearing. It's not so. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what I hear, which is, again, that's not a bad thing at all. I'm just trying to help people who haven't listened yet, and they will hear more of this as my program.
Yeah, there's some diversity, and it's kind of neat that way, where you're not tied into one or two lead voices for the whole record, which is 14 songs. You've got, you know, when you can choose from four or five strong lead voices, then you can pitch the material and songs. You know, that might not work for one person, they can still have them on a record because they work for different personalities,
right, exactly.
Different voices.
That's right. You have different vocals available and different sounds, and that allows you to do more diverse things on the same project, I guess, is where we're headed. I think that makes sense. The Token of Love, if I wanted to skip down to that tune, that's almost like it's almost like a rock, you know, is it a rock and roll song without, you know, electric instruments? I mean, but the beat on it and the drive on it is almost, it almost kind of sounds like an early rock, rockabilly type of thing.
Yeah, that's a pretty rocking tune. That's a fun tune. That's another tune that was written with Sean Camp, and he's the man. I mean, he's just does it all, picks, sings, and writes, and he was always... He's like, oh man, we got to work this song up country. Somebody's got to cut, do a full on country version of this. And he knows more about country music than I do, so I haven't heard that version yet. But we tried to put some rock and roll into a bluegrass style on it, and that's the way it came out. And it's a super fun tune.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's great. I can tell you this too. I'm always interested in how songs are lined up on an album. Some people just, they get them when they're done, and when they're done with as many, they line them up. But I like the way these are arranged because right after Token of Love, then you get that more, you know, Sing to the Mule, Sing to That Mule. Then you go right into, I predict this summer in the parking lots, there's going to be a lot of people butchering their version of, and I'm going to pronounce it as Kitsuma, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's correct. Okay. You said it correctly.
All right. That's a great...
Yeah, it is interesting when you're syncing up songs. You can't just put all the best ones at the front, and you can't put all the same instrument kickoffs at the front. You got to consider what key they're in, who's kicking it off, the mood of the song, what it's about, how the solos are arranged. And but yeah, you know, Token of Love was in the key of A, and by Sing to the Mule, you could go from that rock and roll to some traditional bluegrass and sounding stuff, upbeat, and Kitsuma kind of keeps that going. It's just a fast banjo
tune. It's just a driving banjo tune.
And B, where the banjo states the melody lower and up the neck, and then everybody else kind of hints at the melody and plays around it almost in like a, you know, like Tony Rice. He's more of a melodic player, but not necessarily. He's more of a lick player than a melodic player.
Yeah,
play around the melody. You know?
Right, I know what you mean.
And so, yeah, just let the banjo stay in the melody, and then the guys get to cut loose, and that's kind of a fun thing.
On this album in particular, who makes that arrangement of the song lineup on the as they come out?
We got all the songs done, and then you keep putting them in different arrangements for, you know, months or as long as you have until it has to be printed and to see what works. And I guess I had the final say, but I was open to everyone, you know, obviously asked Andrew, who co-produced, what he thought, and then all the guys in the band, and some things, you know, after a while, some things work, some things don't work. Like, at first, we had the kickoff song as number two, and everybody who played the record, like, man, I really love that second song.
I
feel bad about the first song, so they're like, okay, we better put that one first.
Well, I think the way it is now, Traveling Show, I think, is the perfect, because it sets up what the tone of the rest of the, not all of them, as we've said, and I don't want anyone to think for a minute that there's a down element to the tone, that there's all this uplifting thing, but there's a definite, it fits so much into that traveling show concept that this is a road band. You guys are road, you know, I wouldn't call you
road.
Yeah,
I mean, all these guys are making their life out on the road, too, you know, playing in bands and traveling, and it's, you know, it's about doing it, having fun.
Yeah. Oh, this
thinking is hard, thinking high.
There you go, and it's a really fun. How do you have time? How do any of you? And let's just talk. Since I'm talking to you, Charles, how do you have time to do this when Steep Canyon Rangers is one of the most sought after, busiest road? And you guys just did a new album because I bought it. You just told me about before we started on that that your mother mailed me out the album. How do you?
Yeah, we just released a duet with Dee Dee Brickell, "Test of Time."
Yeah,
that was released in April as a single, and the money goes to raise some money for the Candade Foundation, Oscar Blues Candade Foundation. And that was a really neat project. We're excited to have that out this month for a good cause.
How do you have time to? Because you have a tour. You have dates for.
Oh yes, we're slammed. We're touring. You know, 150 shows a month, always going. But Graham and I, when we're out there with the Rangers, we're writing tunes. You know, whatever we do every morning, we're practicing or we're running or our hobbies, but we're writing all the time. Looking for little bits of songs, and so it's just something you never stop doing, and eventually you build up this catalog and you look for outlets for your songs. And once, you know, with this group of guys, once we had a collection of, you know, I guess it turned out to be 14 songs that went together, and we could get everybody in one place, which was a hard thing to do. We had an opportunity to cut them.
I would imagine
it's just for fun, you know, for people to enjoy. Hopefully they'll put on the record and enjoy it.
Well, and I think, Charles, too, from what you're telling me, once you get the songs picked out, with the caliber of musicians in this group, and nothing away from Steep Canyon at all, it's a fabulous band, you don't have to spend a lot of time in the studio figuring out how you're going to tackle these things.
Well, that's true. Yeah, everybody works well together, and everybody's on the same page. And
right.
I think we did 14 songs in 4 days, which is pretty much unheard of.
That's
usually
good.
If you can get a song a day, you're doing well.
That's
song,
good.
Song and a half a day.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and the album is great. Just
of course,
great.
Those were long days, though. They were much longer than 8-hour days. We kind of.
Well, let me ask you this, and we talked about this a little before we went on the air. I told you that I have an inside source that I sometimes look for information about people who are going to be guests on the show, and it's through that person that I learned about this running, and I did a little more looking on your website. And you're an ultra marathoner, which is what, 100 miles? Is that an ultra marathon?
Yeah, that's the distance I like to run, because I'm actually not that fast. But I found over 100 miles, even the fast guys slow down. So if I can just maintain my slow, I can be somewhat competitive.
Well, is it true then, from what I heard, that even on the road with Steep Canyon, you're out running like 20 miles a day? This makes no sense to me. How do you have, talk about time for having a separate band? How do you run when you're on the road?
It's you know, the bus stops. You get up first thing in the morning. You run, come back, start practicing, do the show, run a little bit more. So you know you can get in about 20 miles a day when you're running hard. But what's neat is there's been this bridge between running and music. And this year in North Carolina, September 10th, the Thursday before our Mountain Song Festival, which Steep Canyon Rangers hosts in Brevard, North Carolina. It's our 10th anniversary. We've raised over $400,000 for the Boys and Girls Club of Castaneda County.
Nice.
We're starting a first annual, hopefully, Steep Canyon 50K ultramarathon and relay, where we hope to have runners out to raise money for Oscar Blues Candade Foundation, which does things like give instruments to kids in school and offer flood relief and just all kinds of raising money for people who need it, basically, is the short explanation. And so that's going to be on a Thursday, and we're hoping to have live music too. So we'll have all these crazy people that go out and like to run these long races, but also like to come and enjoy good food and family and beer and live music and raise money, and kind of adding that on to our whole music festival thing in North Carolina, along with Oscar Blues. And so I'm excited of the two worlds combining, the music and the running, and then raising money for a good cause. So that's going to be a neat thing, the Steep Canyon 50K.
Charles, did you tell me a date on that, or did I miss that?
That is September 10th. It's the Thursday, right before the music starts the official Mountain Song Festival, which is going to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday this year.
Okay. So, and at 50K, you're going to be inviting some people that would be more in your league as far as the ultra marathon.
Sure, 50K is basically 30 miles, and we're going to have a nice hilly course with some water crossings, and it's going to be super fun. But we also have a option where people can come out and do a three-person relay where they run 10 miles each, and that opens it up to more of the marathon crowd and the half-marathon crowd, or people maybe they've only run a 5K, which is 3 miles, and they want to come out and, you know, run 10 miles. It's doable, and that's our goal, is to open it up to a lot of different styles and ability runners to come out and enjoy, but, you know, still have that element of a challenging 30-mile course.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's a neat idea. That's a really neat idea. When you're out on the road and you're running, do you in your head, do you think of ideas for songs and music?
Yes, if they come to you, you know, sometimes I'll stop and punch them to my phone if it's something I think I'm going to forget.
Okay.
Or I'll be listening to books on tape, which always inspire songs and lyrics, or podcasts or other music. There's a lot of time there while you're running where mentally you can do other things while you're physically getting one thing done. You can also be focusing mentally on something else. Yeah. If it's working over a new song idea, or maybe, like I said, listening to a book on tape or a podcast or music.
Well, man, listen, I do like this. I'm so glad that you included me in that you had a new album coming out from the Songs of the Road Band Traveling Show, which you say you already said comes out April 21st as far as being available.
Yes. Okay. Pre-sale started in April, and the street release date is April 21st. And, hope people check it out. We've also got a record coming out with Steve Can Rangers in August. That's in the can.
Oh,
Jerry Douglas has produced that, and that's going to be coming out in August. I'm excited about that project as well.
You're so busy, and then still you're running 20 miles a day. That alone blows my mind. But
well, you know, that gets, you got to run the meanness out and stay sane on the road, stay healthy. It's a good thing to do.
That's good. Well, that works. That evens out your mind, then, I guess, is what you're saying, by doing all that stuff. That's cool. Well, so people can find songs from the road band. They have a website. I've been there. They can find it. They can see where you're going to be.
Yeah, but it's just songsfromtheroadband.com.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they can hook up with us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram.
You're everywhere.
Kind of stuff.
You've got to do all that stuff. As I interview younger bands and younger band members like you, they're also keyed into all those different things, and they rattle them off right away, and everybody has to move up to that line to keep accessibility. I mean, some of the bands are just slower just because the time they came up, they didn't have to do that. But everybody now knows you got to use that.
Yeah, Steve, you're so right, and I appreciate you calling me young and putting me in that group. I remember when we started out in the van with fold-out maps and payphones to get to the shows, and those days have certainly changed.
Well, that's good. And then, of course, they can find Steep Canyon Rangers, all the good stuff. It's easy to – you almost can't type in anything that starts with an S and a T and not find Steep Canyon Rangers references.
That's right. Yeah, we've got all the steepcanyon.com and all the social outlets. And please check out the Mountain Song Festival. And if any of your listeners love to run, come join us in Brevard, North Carolina in September.
That is so cool. What a great idea. What a great idea. I can't wait to get my thing that you just did with Edie. I'm sure I'll get that sometime next week.
Test of time.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's arrived.
Before we went on the air, you mentioned that the mailing source for that is kind of close to where I live in Northern Kentucky, and which I thought was kind of cool. I would have gone and got it. I just would go pick it up if I knew that was that close. But so we'll get that and put it in the playlist. You're already the new thing that we're talking about now is already in the playlist as of next week and last week. And man, I really enjoyed it. It's a great album. It's just fun. It's good stuff. There's driving music on it. There's some slower things. There's instrumental stuff. If you listen, and I think the people that listen to this program are fairly astute, you're going to listen to some great instrumentation behind some great words and some great singing. I just really like this. I like this project a lot.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It was a pleasure to talk to you. I certainly appreciate your insight, too. Mm-hmm. You've obviously listened to the music.
I try, Charles. I don't do talking points. I try to have my own thoughts and try to listen to stuff, and I appreciate it. All right, man. Well, listen, we'll see you down the road somewhere, all right?
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, Charles. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.